All right, I hope some kids can come up front. Yeah, good. And we'll start with, let's start with number 27. Number 27. My God, I have found the thrice blessed ground where before we go on, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee that we can bring to each of these children and each of us the story of thy love. And we pray for each soul that we might be blessed as we hear again of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. We ask these, ask for these, each of these children, adult. Bless them in their lives ahead. Each young person, thou guide them and help them. Help us each to be wise unto salvation while we're young and wise as winners of souls. We ask it in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Who has one they'd like to sing? 23? Behold, behold the Lamb of God. Is that the one? All right. Number 23.
Behold, behold the Lamb of God.
Sing another one in a few minutes, but who has memorized the verse for this week? Can anybody tell me what this week's verse is? You look like you might have the answer. Do you know? No? Okay. All right. What is it? You're thinking, okay. Let's see. Let's see, does it start out something like, all things or something? Is that the one? No. Yes, that's the one, isn't it? Is that right? Does she know it?
All things are naked and open.
Ah, finally. Thank you, Dave. Do we know that verse? All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, it's interesting. I think all the kids learn their verses all the time, except for conference weekend. All right, well, that's in Hebrews, isn't it? Chapter 4 or something like that. And no, that's, yeah, here it is. All right, so since nobody knows it, let's all sing it together. Say it together. Hebrews 4:13. All things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now that verse kind of scares me a little bit, or it used to, when I didn't understand something about it. Because, you know, that last part of that verse says, talks about the one with whom we have to do. And that always seemed a little bit scary to me. Does it seem scary to you? The one with whom we have to do. Now, suppose I was taking you someplace, and I said, I'm going to take you to a place, and you're going to have to go into that room, and you'll find somebody in that room, and that somebody is going to either hug you or beat you up. That would make you pretty nervous, wouldn't you? You think you'd be nervous about that? I think I would be, too. Now, suppose when you opened the door and you looked into the room that you saw your grandma there. Would that change your mind about whether you're afraid or not? I think it would, wouldn't it? Do you think it would change your mind? There's a verse that I'll read you, and in 1 John, and it's in chapter 4. And it goes like this, verse 18. There's no fear in love. So if you saw your grandma there, and you know your grandma loves you, you wouldn't be afraid, would you? You wouldn't say, I wonder if she's going to beat me up or not. No, you wouldn't say that, would you? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So the more somebody loves you, the more you know that you don't have to be afraid of them. Perfect love casts out fear. And then it goes on to say that because fear has torment. There's some people that want us to think that God is waiting for something to happen so he can beat up on us. And we have to be afraid of God because if we make a mistake, he's going to punish us. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't punish sin. I don't mean to say that. But instead, what I want to bring to you is that God loves you. And if he loves you, he doesn't want you to be afraid of him. He doesn't want you to be afraid of him. It casts out torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, it says. We love him because he first loved us. And that used to be my favorite verse when I was a little kid your age. Because I knew that I always liked people that liked me. and then to realize that God loves me. So that's the first thing I want you to remember, that God loves you. And when it says the one that you have to do with, it doesn't mean you need to be afraid. Except if you don't come to him, of course. That's a different story. But let's sing another song now. Which one of your kids has a song for us to sing? Which? What do you? Number six? Good. Number six. Number six. God in
mercy sent his son.
Thing I used to like when I was a kid your age is the story about the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd who would go out onto the mountains and find a lost sheep. You know, when you lose something, it really makes you feel sad. I can remember a long time ago when we were planning a trip to the shore, and my children saved up their money so they could have a good time when they got to the shore, and they had things that they wanted to do and all that. And I think pretty early on in our vacation, might have been even the first day, I don't remember exactly, but my little girl lost her bag of money. And I felt so sad for her. She'd saved up so long for it and so hard, and there might have been $3.18 in it, I don't know, something like that. But I felt so sad. She lost her little bag of money. You know how sad you feel when you lose something. And then sometimes you find things. And sometimes you feel so happy when you find something, you know, some money or a treasure. Have you ever found a treasure? Ever found something? I see kids sometimes going in the coin in the telephone thing looking for money. They find some. It's fun, isn't it, if you find something? It makes you so happy to find something. It makes you so sad to lose it. You know, we have a seeking Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's what we call a seeking Savior. That means he's looking for you and looking for little lambs that have gone astray. And so that's why I used to like that story so much of the Lord Jesus going out onto the mountains to find the one lost sheep. So two things I want you to remember then. One is that there's no fear in love. And when you come to the Lord Jesus, it's like coming into the room where your grandma is, or your grandpa. And you don't need to be afraid to come to the Lord Jesus. And the second thing I want you to remember is that the Lord Jesus is looking for you. Who else has another song? Ben, you have one that you want to sing? Jesus Loves Me. Okay, now, where's Jesus? That's the back page. Now, we're just going to sing the first and last verse because Number 40. First and last verse, Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Story in the Gospel of Luke that I'll read. It's in chapter 15, and it says, Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Oh, and my little girlie lost her bag of money. We searched all over the place. We never did find it. But this woman, she had lost her piece of silver, and she swept her house out and cleaned it, and finally she found it. And then it says that when she found it, she called all her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I have lost." And then it says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." Just to think that if there's a sinner in this room today that repents and comes to the Lord Jesus, to think that there's an announcement in heaven, that name is announced, they've come, and everybody's living, yay, hooray, that's great. You found him. We found her. And she's come back. You know, when I came into this room, I had 10 pieces of silver in my pocket. It was in this pocket. I know it was in this pocket. My pocket is empty. I guess you could say I've lost my 10 pieces of silver. Has anybody found any pieces of silver? Let me just see. Whose silver is this?
I don't know. It's I found it on the carpet.
I think that means it's yours.
Well, it was somebody else's. You don't have a hole in your pocket, do you?
I'm so glad you found this silver, but it's yours. But I'd like to buy it from you. Did you find one? Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to buy this from you. I have here my script. Do you know what a script is? It's a shepherd's bag. That's what David had. He had a script. A shepherd's bag. And in David's bag, he put 5 smooth stones. But I want to buy back the silver that belongs to you because you found it. And Ben, you found one? I want to buy it back from you. And you've got one? I'd like to buy it back. This belonged to you, right? Because you found, but you found it.
Yes, sir.
So it's yours. Okay. But I bought it back, so now it's mine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's mine now. I bought it back. You've got one. Can I buy it back? Oh, you've got one. Can I buy it back? Ah, wonderful. You've got one. I'll buy it back. You have one. I'll buy it back. Will you accept that as payment for the silver? Oh, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I had 10. Oh, there's 8. I'm missing two. I'd like to buy back 2 more. I'd like to buy back 2 more. You know, there's lost souls out there that want to be bought back. Okay, I've bought back 8 of them. And I can't find any more. But I've got my 8 back. When lost souls get lost, what buys them back? blood. Do you know a verse that tells us that? I bet you do. We're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Yeah, that's good. That's in 1 Peter 1:18. Oh, I'm so glad I was able to buy back some of those. I was worried nobody would find them, but I'm glad they did. I noticed when you said, what did you say when I bought your quarter?
Oh, you said a dollar for a 25 cents.
She said a dollar for a 25 cents. A dollar for. Yeah, I bought it back with a loonie. Was that a pretty good deal?
Yeah.
You know what? Some people might say that I paid too much. And that's what I think about the Lord Jesus, you know. When I think about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for me, he paid too much. He paid too much. There's a verse in Matthew that about the kingdom of heaven, and it speaks of a merchant man who's looking for good pearls, and he went and sold everything that he had to buy the pearl. He finally found one that was really good. And he sold everything that he had so that he could buy it. And that story is really illustrating something about the Lord Jesus. That he sold everything that he had so he could buy you and me. Everything. Think of the Lord Jesus back before he was a man. The one, it says that he is the Word, the eternal Word, the Son of God. There in the glories of heaven. And the angels must bow down to him. And he could speak a word, and worlds would come into existence. He could have anything and everything that he wanted to. All power and all wealth. Everything belonged to him. And then he came down into this world and became a little baby. And he was born into a poor family, a poor mother and father. He sold everything that he had. Oh, he sold everything that he had. And came into this world to die for you and for me. You know what? He paid too much. He paid too much for me. Just like I paid too much for those quarters. But that's only a small illustration. Then there's a verse that we sometimes memorize that's, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Some people are a little bit richer this morning than they were when they came in. I'm a little bit poorer, not very much. But you know, in that verse, there's something very interesting. It says, sometimes you forget things when you need to remember them. I just quoted it and now it's gone from me. Though he's rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. I don't know Greek, and I don't think very many people here do. But I do have the ability to look up what Greek words mean. And so I did look up what the Greek word means when it says he became poor. And it turns out there's different words for poor. There is a word that means poor like a common laborer. So maybe there's somebody here that isn't very rich at all. They've got a job. They're working in McDonald's or something, and they're making minimum wage. And they don't have a house. They're renting a small apartment, and they don't make enough money to buy a car or anything. They're poor. They're poor like a common laborer. But that's not what this verse means. It doesn't mean, though he was rich, yet he became poor like a common laborer. There's another word in the Greek language that means poor as a beggar. Poor as a beggar. Somebody who doesn't even have a job like as a common laborer. And so though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor as a beggar. What would you think of me if I met somebody here and said, I want to give you all my money. I want to give you my house. I want to give you my car. I want to give you everything except for the clothes that I have on. And furthermore, I'm going to give you my job, so I don't even have a job anymore. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor as a beggar. Because if I gave away my job, I'd have to go begging. What would you think of that? Sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? That's what the Lord Jesus has done for you and for me. He became poor as a beggar so that we might be rich. I was speaking to some older folks last week, and we quoted the verse, there's one thing more that I could have given you that I didn't give you. Do you know what it could be? What? No. There's one, if I had loved you a whole lot, I might give you all those things. But there's a verse that says, greater love hath no man than this. What? There's one thing I didn't give you. What?
Then a man laid down his life for his friends.
Excellent. Excellent. There's one thing I didn't give away when I offered. I didn't offer. I supposed. I didn't give away my life. The Lord Jesus became poor as a beggar, and then he did one more thing than that. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then it says also that for some people, a good man would die, but others, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But last week when I asked the folks at the nursing home, what's greater than that? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Nobody could figure out the one thing greater than even than that. And that is to die for your enemy. Right. You know, there's another thing about that I'd like to bring out. That is in John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, there's a verse that he is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2, 2. And not for ours only, but also for the sins for the whole world. You should read it. Now suppose I had gone to the candy store and say, I have 100 friends here, and Mr. Candy Store owner, I'm going to give you this amount of money so that each one of them can come in and have a treat. And then I say to all my friends, I've paid for it all, and I want you to go and help yourself. And so 10 of them go and get the treat. Have you ever paid for something that you didn't get? This verse speaks of the Lord Jesus who paid for the sins of the, paid for the whole world, but he only got me and you, some of you, I hope all of you. I remember going to a coin machine and putting money in, and nothing came out. I felt like kicking the machine. The Lord Jesus has paid for you and you and you and you and you. He's paid for each one of you. But has he got you yet? He wants you. Now, it's running out of time. But I want to tell you a story about a man who had a terrible accident. And tons of gravel were dumped on him at a construction site, and he was dying. And the foreman came to him and said to him, told him that he was dying, and he asked him if there's anything he could do for him. And the man said, "Yes, I'm about to face Almighty God. What do I do? What do you know?" And the foreman didn't know, and he stood up and he says, "Can anybody tell a man what he needs to know?" And somebody volunteered to pray for him. But the man said, "Well, what do you know? What do you know?" And finally, a young man stepped forward. Everybody else had kind of stepped back. Young man stepped forward and says, "I can tell him what he needs to know, boss." And the boss said to him, but what do you know?" He says, "I know what it took to save my soul, and mine was wicked." And he knelt down by the man and he told him, "Remember this. If you have to go before I'm done, remember this, that Jesus says, 'Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.' Do you have it?" And the man was going fast. And the young man who was telling him about it realized that he had just a second or two to tell him about the way of salvation. And he said, "He's reaching out his arms to you, the arms that were spread on the cross for you. Go into him, man." And he did. And he died with the name of Jesus on his lips and thanks to God. But that's as simple as it is. Remember, I told you that it's how that there's no fear in love. You're going into arms of God that loves you. You have a seeking Savior that's looking for you. Go into him. Do you understand this? That him that cometh to me, Jesus says, I will no wise cast out. That means if you come to the Lord Jesus today, he's not going to tell you no. Go into his arms. We don't have another minute. It's all over. Time's up. Go into the arms of Jesus. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee that we have a seeking Savior, a loving God. We pray that thou wilt open the hearts of each child, each adult, go into the arms of the Savior this very minute, if they have not done so yet. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.